So you are aware that I'm the worst speaker of the morning, so I'm not happy for you, but I'm really glad to be here. Normally, the 2 minutes that we spend at the beginning of our talks about thanking people is, I always consider that a waste of time, but honestly, it is not this time, because I'm really proud to be here. I was in Codex in the first edition, and the second edition I show up with a boot. So basically, it's like being back in a family. And that's what I really love about Codex. And the second thing about Codex that I love is that Peter, Susan, and all the board of people are putting together different kind of lovers, book lovers. So paper makers, artists, museums, private museums that we try to keep alive the tradition of printing, letterpress printing, by the way, that's specifically. So literally mine is a speech, so I have nothing written. That's the worst part of my life, that I always have to write after what I'm saying. And honestly, I apologize for my English. It's like I have to speak, my Italian is quite good. But my English is a primary school English, so I'm sorry for that. And I was asking Karen, she's the photographer of Codex, how I can say envy, is that correct? Envy. I envy Tim and even the previous speech that was amazing. And I would subscribe every single word and leave here, but I have to stay here. So my speech will be around letterpress. It will be devoted even to metal type, and because the reason we will discover during the speech. So, okay, I was listening on, no, I was checking online that even the Pope is going to get rid of his job, maybe because I'm delivering this speech this morning. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm going to start showing you a video. Maybe it will be very familiar to a lot of people. The video will be just about... It's a 2 minutes of hand setting type. And the reason why I'm showing this is because I think that we need to a little step back and consider again the culture and the heritage of hand setting books. And of course, hand setting books, hand composing means that we need to have metal type. And typecasting was seriously... A big job like paper making, as we understand and as we read. I will show very quickly this video. It's 2 minutes. There's no music. I think that we can look at it with silence and religious attention. Okay, it works. Sorry for the video. It was actually only 2 minutes of a print shop in Italy. It's Tallone. It's just the outskirts of Torino. So we're talking of northwest of Italy. Why good reasons to think with metal type? Actually, everything started from a book of Ellen Lupton. There will be a picture around half of my slideshow that is thinking with type. And of course, being in a printing museum, I think that we need to truly consider and reconsider the importance of what is the meaning of typecasting, punch engraving, and hand setting texts. Because again, I think that when we are talking about handmade paper, a beautiful binding, artisanal works with binding, and all these creative and very high-level attention to the text, I think that we need to even consider the importance of the fonts, the typefaces that we are using, because actually, it's again, we're going back to 500 years of our history, where books were, most of them, at least for until 1800 and at the second part of the 19th century, when linotype and monotype showed up, they were handsets, so it's truly something that I believe has to do with a different relationship with the text. And it's, again, even Tim said, making paper, you are right there. You are doing something. And I think that in this book community, and again, my concern, since we're working in a museum, that we have also educational goals, I think that we really need to be able to talk to a very large community of people, because I don't believe book will disappear, of course. But we need really to keep alive the attention and the love for books and the passion for them. So I was wondering, this is a very famous quote of Henry Carter, and type is something that you can pick up and hold in your hand. And this quote was said in 1968 in Oxford. And bibliographers mostly belong to a class of people for whom it is an abstraction, an unseen thing that leaves its mark on paper. So what happens very commonly, and I'm talking specifically of my country, unfortunately, where typeface and type design started in a modern way, I would say, that there is not a real consciousness about type, typecasting, punch cutting, punch engraving. And so I was wondering if probably we should, instead of using the word type at the beginning, we should probably in the next 30, 50 years use the word book. Is something that you can pick up and hold in your hand. Probably, maybe we need to consider even this fate that we are facing, probably. But anyway, that's the reason why I believe that opportunities like Codex and places where I'm lucky to work every day, like Tipoteca, are places where books and all the printing equipment, the materials that needed for making books, is something still real, still physically around. What's nice about this picture, it's there is a shade of an iron press, and this remembers me the adventure of printing in Venice, watermark of Joseph Brodsky in the shade of Aldus Manutius. That was the title of some speeches that I listened to in Venice and in San Francisco too. And it's just a chance that there is a Codex poster hanging out there. It's, I mean, it wasn't done on purpose, but it happened to be that way. Just a few words about the place where I work. And I am here with a colleague of mine. She's name is Michaela. We will be visiting the book fair, of course, because we are very interested to learn and be very careful. We're coming here to learn about books, because it's true that Tipoteca is a nice exception in our country, but unfortunately the situation is not very good at the moment. Just one ridiculous example. This year is the 200 years of Bodoni's death. So he died in 1813, so 2013. You expect big festivals of Bodoni at Parma, where there is the Museo Bodoni, but Bodoni Museum is closed because of a fire. So it happens that in the year of the celebration of their star, unfortunately, the museum is closed for some issues, not at the Biblioteca Palatina. So this is, unfortunately, a sad story about what's going on in my country, I would say, and it gives a sense of how much we have to learn from United States. So this is a view of Tipoteca. This is the main room where we have all the printing equipment. On the background, you see the cabinets where we have all wood type. And we've been, the museum opened in 2002, and so now we are going through a major restoration because we realize that we need to talk to different people. When we first released the exhibition, we was thinking of some kind of community of printers, or graphic designers, but we understood that things change very quickly, and we need to absolutely talk to a larger public that we can possibly. So on the left, you see a big wall where we have the archive of lead type. So there are many, many drawers with type. The name Tipoteca itself is focusing on type because we believe that's the link between the digital era and what was the physical, the letterpress era with printing and with wood and lead type. And of course, we are doing some new rooms, and we have put in all the cabinets with the mattresses. It's been a work of collection about 15 years. So Tipoteca is collecting materials from all over Italy. And as Susan said before, we are not far from Venice. We're just in the hill towns. And in the area where a very good wine, sparkling wine is done, is called Prosecco. So that's one of the reasons why Peter and Susan reached us, because they were interested in that part of the story. And of course, we have like more than 800 drawers with mattresses for casting. We have casting machines, and of course we have monotype. This is our monotype room. And so we are very interested in what was all the process, all the technical process for making type throughout the centuries. So we're talking of the type, the hand engraving, the hand casting, and specifically after, I would say, the type foundries and these mechanical casting machines. Of course, we started very late our research, so we've been able to collect mostly printing equipment of late 19th and 20th century, of course, because all the other things were gone. And as you see, we devote our time for collecting and for trying to preserve all these equipments. And we have good connections with other European museums and collections spread around all Europe. But I will talk later about a project that we have. And of course, you are familiar with all these equipment. Linotype had a great success. I saw with the movie that about Linotype here in US. And I think that these all these attention to these equipment and to the people that were using this equipment is fantastic, because it puts back life in all this way of making and producing things. This is upstairs where we have a room just for wood type, and we have a collection of a local manufacturer. His name is Luigi Melchiori, and we have finally the donation of the, of all what his collection, and so we're trying to display this all this printing equipment to all our visitors. We are visited, let's say, 8,000, 10,000 people per year, and thinking that we are lost a little bit out in the country, I think it's these are good numbers for where we are. Most of our interest is in metal type, and this is the reason why I'm here today, because we need to reconsider the importance of using original type, because it gives back the sense of what was the work and the process of making things that was belonging to who started the printing in 1450 and still goes on everywhere. And what is very nice that we noticed that a very strong interest about graphic designers in metal type and in the type design. So this is, I think, a very good news for, because I believe that people are still, they still need to touch. I keep saying that I don't want to eat a pizza on an iPad. I want to go to the pizzeria and smell it and touch it and cut it with my knife. And so, again, I think something similar is happening with books, with type. And again, people, especially in the graphic design, are a little bit, of course, curious about what was happening before. And this is something that we are facing. It's a new story, I think, that, and I believe that absolutely we need to try to gather more, more strongly and dialogue with all people that are working with the digital type and try to keep connections among each other. And it's really hard. People keep asking how much type, how much founts do you have? It's really hard to say how many single pieces we have. We've been collecting many, many print shops all over Italy, and it was a really hard job. And at the same time, we realized that this is a sort of treasure, because you can say that you still hold original types that was used at the end of the 19th century, in the 30s, in the 20s, so in years that were very interesting in the terms of design and the quality. And by the way, the type foundry typefaces are absolutely gorgeous in terms of their quality, and so you can really have a sense of printing with something that you understand exactly what where they're going. So of course, like many other museums, we have background activities. One of the biggest occupations is taking care of all these collections and trying to put them in order, to print them, to know what we have and we keep in our archive. And at the same time, keeping alive the skills of people around letterpress. Part of our collection, we have also these punches that were made in at the end of 18th century. These punches were belonging to the Amoretti's brothers. Amoretti were a family of brothers that helped Giovan Battista Bodoni in Parma when he started his printing for at the Stamperia Reale. So, of course, when you can touch and you can feel these pieces, these parts of equipment that have been hand-engraved, you really understand what is behind the type, what is behind letterpress. And again, we have a very good collection of mattresses, and these are patterns that were used when the pantographs were showing up. And as everybody knows, pantographs started to be used in the United States. Was Benton's used pantographs first. Benton used pantographs first in the type business. And of course, collecting all this material means keeping alive the skills of people to know how you properly should use them. And even tying some pieces of type is already a job. So Peter is laughing, so he knows what I'm meaning. And of course, we have a very good collection of wood type too, but I'm seeing there is a great passion about wood type lately. I am a fan of Hamilton Wood Type Museum in Wisconsin. But probably people that is following the story of Hamilton knows that these days the guys have to move from their from the building where they are, and so there is a big change there in Two Rivers. I've been twice in Two Rivers, and it's a place that I love, actually. But again, when we come to book printing and to the knowledge of handsetting, wood type starts to be a little bit aside all of this kind of practice. So it will be a pity if we drop the skills and the knowledge about handsetting type and the metal type. This is why we are trying to, and we're struggling to try to put together a community over in Europe that are still trying to keep alive all the practicing and all the skills around the type casting and the punch cutting. Of course, there are very few right now institutions where you can still follow strictly all these, or you can learn all about this knowledge. I just mentioned Plantin Moretus in Antwerp. That's probably one of the most important museums in the world in terms of historical knowledge for punch cutting and for mattresses striking. We have a collection, very interesting, about music punches, because until 1992, the music printing was going through the engraving of plates. So that's very interesting for people that really have no sense of what was going on. So I think that the first softwares for music layouts started later that date. So and if I found out that this story is quite interesting because it's similar in many other countries. So it's very nice to have these collections of punches that were given us by a print shop in Milan. So this is one of my favorite quotes. Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire. So that's probably one of the reasons that I believe that museums, printing museums, and better if they're working and printing museums, I think that would be the best point of it, of the story, can keep alive that fire. We don't have to be afraid of tradition. At the same time, we need to connect tradition to our daily life. So I think that is what is very important. And because of the community of people using typefaces nowadays are millions and millions of people. So we can say millions of typographers, but we can say millions of people using typefaces. So I think that the heritage of history and knowledge really helps to have a better quality, even in our daily communication. This was when Monique wrote me, which is the title of your speech. I think, good reason to think with type. I was handling this book of Ellen Lupton, Thinking with Type, and it's, I think, a very popular book all over the world, not only in the United States. And it's a guide for designers and for graphic designers and for people who are approaching to type design and type uses. And I must say that before Codex, it's about a month that I am hanging out with this book. I'm not going to pronounce the name of the author because I'm not a Dutch reader, and I know that whatever's written there, I'm not going to pronounce it in a proper way. But I really, really, really enjoyed this book about its counterpart, Making Type in the 16th Century, Designing Typefaces Now. And I believe this is where we need to go. And it's printed, and it's published by Hyphen Press of Robert Kinross, so that probably is one of the most interesting publishing houses in Europe about literature about letterpress and type design. So really, if I can have a recommendation over here, I would really suggest you this book. It's very simply written, very easy to understand. And by the way, the questions that Fred is asking himself are questions that all of us that we're working in this field, I think daily we face and we ask each other, how type was made, which are the skills, which is the relationship between the technique and the shape of letters and the form of letters. So everything is becoming very interesting if you look at it under this slide, with this slide. This is not a joke. This quote, it happened to be in my hands, and I read it in a book edited by Steve Heller. I was attracted by the chapter, Typecasting. And Stephen Brower wrote this chapter. The book is quite famous. It's The Education of a Typographer. And I believe it's a collection of many essays about suggestions for students to learn more about type design, typography, and things like that. And what is funny that I ended up to this chapter reading Typecast, and I think finally there's someone talking about the experience of making type. And it was actually in a different sense. It's like the casting of a movie. So choosing type for proper communication. So that was a very new use for me of the word casting. But anyway, it was interesting to pick up this quote out of it because I believe that we are surrounded by type abuse, honestly. that's a little bit scary. But anyway, that's why Codex happens, to avoid this. And again, I think that our relationship with books must consider even the relationship with type. So going back and understanding the processes behind type making will help us to have a better appreciation of the design of the book and the design especially of the typefaces that were in use. I don't need to say anything about these pages that I think they are very popular everywhere. I just had to add the year and the right in the corner just to give you a sense of what's happening through the years. This is an interesting book. It's 1509. It's always minutious. And I'm glad that even in Tim's speech came out the fact of writing on the side of the books. And this is a book that was written, I believe, in the 16th century, so with a humanist calligraphy. And so all the notes on the sides. I don't have a Kindle, I don't have a reader. I'm reading on the newspapers that advertising in Italy that Kindle has now paper white screen. Oh gosh, I say, well, we have books that have paper white screens. I mean, why do we need to emphasize all this new revolution? Well, of course, I don't want to start any kind of discussion here or argument what's going on. But again, it's funny that all these digital instruments are trying to go back to do exactly what books are. And I must say, to be honest, that what Gutenberg started to do when he started printing was trying to do what calligraphers were doing. So we need to accept the change and the evolution of the tools and the devices. But at the same time, I have no answer if they ask me, what's going to be a book next 50 years? I honestly don't know, but I'm sure that paper will still be around. I have a sense that the book quality will be better, because at that point, if I have to spend the money to print a book, I want to print it on a proper paper. I want to handset it, probably. I want to have a nice printing. So for the book life, in terms of future, I think that we are going to a new Renaissance, probably. This is my feeling, and it's what I'm understanding working where I'm working. So there is truly a deep interest in the quality and the materials of book and printing. And I think that is the good part of the story. That, I think, is really good part. I understand the newspaper is going to change their way of living. But a book, I think they will. We will have an increase of quality books. That's my hope, honestly. So going back, we have the pictures I'm showing is part of our collection of books that we have in the at the museum in Tipoteca. And I loved, we have a 1622 specimen type book from the Vatican that's on the left. And if you read on the back side, Getteria di Antonio Zatta, that is a book of 1799. Again, it is a book about typefaces, typecasting. Antonio Zatta was a type founder in Venice. And Getteria, this is just for cultural information, it's basically another Italian word to say foundry. But in Venice, the Getteria was located in a specific area of the town where today there is the Jewish ghetto. So Getteria and ghetto has the common meaning because the Jewish ghetto was put in that part of the city where all the foundries were. So, and the German speakers weren't able to say Getteria, but they were saying Getteria, and that comes out the word ghetto in Venice. And again, this is another masterpiece, I always think, of printing. Again, if we consider this book as the result of hand engraving of punches, so you have body 3-point hand engraved, that becomes a miracle. If we're going to do it with on a computer, a 3-point design, it's a totally a different skill, I believe. It's the machine doing it for us. So again, it's strongly recommended to be part of our culture and a part of our knowledge, to know and to face and to look behind us to understand what were the processes behind book printing. And again, the experience of Bodoni, printed by Bodoni, is something that probably I will recommend to everybody. And I guess I'm talking to a number of people that maybe have touched the Bodoni edition. But again, I understand that when I use a digital Bodoni, I'm not sure what I'm using. It's totally different typeface. So again, this is why we need a strong connection between type designers and punch cutters, because that is putting them together, you understand properly the design and the making of that type. And this is quite a nice story about Bodoni. This type that you see printed in this book, 1922, was printed by Hans Mardersteig. Mardersteig is a German printer that moved first to Switzerland for health reasons, and then he moved south to Verona in Italy, so he always in Veneto Regio. And he was invited to print the national editions of all the books written by an Italian writer, Gabriele D'Annunzio. Gabriele D'Annunzio, in those times, he was very friendly. He was friend of the government that was, at that time of the Italian history, was the fascism, basically. And it's funny to read the graphic magazines about the story of this typeface that was actually hand cast from the original mattresses of Bodoni's. It was a scandal. It was, you know what, Italian typeface given to a German? Yeah, no, it was really, it's a very interesting story. And it make me think about what we are happening today. We are here in Codex, we are in California, and the people comes from all over the world. And that is what we need. I think we should start to think about a United Nations of book, something like that, because we need to preserve the knowledge and the fun and the passion, again, of touching things and making them things with passion and with love. I think it's all there, the difference, the passion and the love that we use and we put to do all these things. So and this book was printed in 1922. They started to print the edition in 1922. It's about 42 volumes. And the good news is that Martino Mardersteig, the son of Hans, gave us the 14 Bodoni original Tondo. So what does it mean? This is the original Bodoni typeface that was cast, hand cast, from the Bodoni's mattresses in Parma. So we have some, what remains of the type used for the printing of the edition of the Nunzio in the 20s. So it's quite interesting to say that we have some original Bodoni still around. And of course, in those days, Mardestai cast 12 bodies from Bodoni's mattresses. We unfortunately have only 14 point size. And another Italian printer, and this really keeps me thinking about why these printers and these typographers wanted to hand engrave their punches in the 30s, in the 40s, when already there were existing linotype and monotype equipment. I believe all of you know exactly the answer. The beauty of the print is done by what is handmade, because a punch cutter, and so that's my suggestion to go back to read that book about counterpunch, where punch cutters were very skillful men, and they preferred following their own rules and their eye rules rather than following all the maths and the design and all the humanism, discussion about the perfect letter, the perfect lettering. So, and this happened still in the 40s. So Tallone, when he decided to cast his own type, design and cast his own type, preferred the hand engraving punches from a French guy called Charles Malin, a guy that we hardly know anything about his life, but he was so talented that both Mardestag and Tallone wanted him to hand engrave their punches for their typefaces in use. And of course, this is Enrico Tallone. Enrico is still in activity, so he's a publisher. And I think that a very good friend of mine here in the Bay Area is Jack Stauffacher. I think he's the Tallone of the Bay Area somehow. They have really a strong sense of designing pages. And I know that Stauffacher met the father of Enrico in the 50s when he had a Fulbright in Italy. And again, pity that we didn't see the first clip, the first video. I hope we are able to see the last one. But all of my talk, all of my speech is to go back to the humanity that is behind all the process. I mean the humans, even the movements of the hands and the arms. James Moseley told me once that at the Oxford University Press, there was a composer that composed a text in Sanskrit. Is it correct, Sanskrit? Okay. And the guy, the professor that gave the proofs, that I think they were typesetted, when he had the first proof back, he said, wow, who corrected me? Because he forgot totally an accent in all the paper or the handwriting that he gave to the composer. So they called the composer man. He said, well, I remember that after picking up this letter, after that there was always this accent coming. So it's a memory of movements. It's a memory of space. It's a memory of physical world. And that is amazing. That's adding a dimension to our books. And this is just a copy of one of Enrico Tallone's book. So very quickly, because time is running out, we are starting last year in 2012. We had a meeting in London with some people in Europe, James Moseley, Eckhart, Gabriel Schumacher. He's a German owner of a very interesting Thai foundry. It's Drugulin. It's Drugulin Haas. And he is in Dresden. Gabriel Schumacher, by the way, I think he has the larger monotype library of mattresses, display mattresses and regular mattresses for type making. What's happening in Europe? We have one last type foundry connected to the Darmstadt University. And the guy that works there is Rainer Gerstenberg. He's going to retire soon. So we are worried about the knowledge of this man that's been working at Stempel Type Foundry in German and in Frankfurt, actually. And we don't want to lose his skills. So our goal, our aim, is trying to put in together a group of people and be able to learn from him, to train young people to go ahead with casting. Because Rainer has a beautiful type foundry with perfectly working equipment. And yes, that's another point. There's no boundaries now when we talk of letterpress. There's no boundaries. There's no nationalities. We are really strongly connected, and we feel this need to be connected. So again, I'm hoping that Peter, beside coming, he's just talking about a project of printing something in Italy. 2015 is 500 years of Manutius. We should think about a codex, a European codex. I think that we should probably try to... I don't know what I'm saying right now. Someone's going to shoot me when I'm going back. But I think that would be beautiful doing something in Venice that is codex connected. And again, so the preservation of all this printing equipment is part of our heritage. I think that paper is the skin of our culture, and at the same time, I think that metal type is really the prints of humans before us. And this is just a page of Rainer Gerstenberg website, and I really love the fact of the choice of before of Cassandre wasn't, you know, occasionally it was a choice, thinking of codex. And again, he has the Debernin Pignon matrices, so he can cast the real before. And you can see Bodoni cursive, and you have all the names of the type foundries. And again, the price, I understand, is not a very easy price to afford, because we're talking of lead, a kilo of lead is quickly done, so it's going to be quite expensive. But again, you have type foundry type in your drawers, and that really helps the quality of your prints. Again, so I'm ending this, I'm really getting close to the end of my talk, and I'm quoting James Mosley, that probably devoted most of his life about studying the materials of printmaking and of handmaking type. I think you are able to read, so there's no need for me to read in my bad English what you can really read in a better way. And I like the idea of a Jurassic Park, of a typographic Jurassic Park, to recreate living types. I think that is a very brilliant answer that we can give to all one of the reasons why we have to collect this stuff. And finally, this is another interesting quote, I think it's part of the deal that answers to many questions. It's really the relationship to the handcraft that is a beautiful one. I mean, we can give thousands of answers why keeping alive the practice of letterpress, why keeping alive the practice of paper making, hand paper making, why keeping alive the printing of books. And I think it just has to do with the physical of the job and the relationship between what we are doing. So, that's a picture of Anaïs Nin in Paris in 1942. She's working on a platen press. And I don't know who understands Italian, but it's very easy to read this, that printing with an iron hand press is not doing archaeology. It's not archaeological. It's just going back to our roots, our human roots. We are body. We are physical. And so that's why in Tipoteca, we've been quite brave to suggest people coming in to do printing on an iron hand press and hand setting type as an exercise, as a workshop. And I must say that the students are really, really fond of it. They really love it because they understand that what you're doing is exactly what you see. You feel it in your hands. So I think it truly has many opportunities to continue this fabulous practice. This is probably the fate of the next book publishers. Going to be, this is a friend of mine. He is Alberto Casiraghi. He's a really good chap. He's talking of his publishing house. Actually, it is his house. He moved out the couch, and he put it in the press. So probably we have to be like that. This is so it's going to be something very comfortable at house, but doesn't matter. It's important. Is and you see on the top of the press there are people and animals grabbing space of it. But what's funny about Alberto, and I think this is really a neat idea of his artist books, he publishes a little book, I think, every day. He invites the artist to go to his house, and they print a quote, and there is an artwork. And what's funny about his publishing house is called Pulcino Elefante. Pulcino Elefante. What's funny about his books that I think he reached the edition 9,000 something. So when they propose him to do a catalog of all his editions, the catalog is so big. When his editions are just 8 sheets of paper, handmade paper. It's Handmühle normally what he's working with. And so he binds the books in the kitchen. He prints the book in the living room. But it's truly an experience, a human experience. And this is a quick example of one of his artist books. So normally there is a poet or a poetry or an aphorism, and there is an artwork done from people that meet. And I think it's a matter of fact of friendship, first of all, a matter of fact of friendship. Again, I don't want to scare you with this idea of metatype, because it seems to be quite a Taliban kind of fundamentalism about letterpress. I don't want to be that wild. But I think this is a book of a friend of mine that he just had drawers, cabinets of wood type. And this is the smart idea that he had. He asked a writer to write him a book, a novel, very few lines, that could match his wood type. So that is another good, interesting use of type, even if it's wood, after the lesson of handsetting type. I think so, making an artist book on purpose of the type that you have. And this is my final quote. I came up with this. I know it's something about Tibetan Buddhism, something like that. It was actually happiness instead of letterpress. There is no way to letterpress. Letterpress is the way. I think that we have to face this reality. Thank you. The sad story is that Alessandro Zanella passed away last year. You see, he is quite young. He was 57. And one of the goals of Tipoteca were filming people in the printmaking. And so we are so sad in one way and so glad on the other side of having at least this to witness what he was doing. Again, going back to metatype, I invite you just to look at his hands, because it's exactly what I'm thinking about. Bookmaking is a work of humans. It's a work of hand moving in the air, in the space. It's very sad that we were happy about Alessandro, because he says he's quite young, because you know, when you're talking of printing on an iron hand press, normally you think of people quite ahead with their age. And he passed away in July. It happened very suddenly. He was in vacation, by the way. We show this video every day to kids that visit in Tipoteca. And so I stop here. He's just telling about what he was doing. I don't need to translate, because I guess you can easily understand whatever he's doing.
Che contiene le 4 pagine viene inserito in torchio e è serrato in un telaio più grande che si trova sul letto del torchio. Il torchio che io uso per la stampa dei miei libri è un torchio in ghisa, fuso a Monza nel 1854 da Amos dell'Orto, ed è un modello Stanhope, porta il nome del primo costruttore di questi modelli in Inghilterra.
When I say we need to learn from Americans, it's because Alessandro learned by Gabriel Ramons to use and to print on an iron hand press, so that's part of the story.
Alla stampa sono una serie di controlli che si esercitano per quanto riguarda la posizione o anche la quantità di pressione. Per fare questo si utilizza dell'inchiostro tipografico. L'inchiostro tipografico è molto denso e viene tirato su una lastra di marmo, macinato su una lastra di marmo da un rullo in gomma. La macinazione deve stendere un velo uniforme sul marmo e quindi anche sul rullo. A questo punto si procede a inchiostrare in torchio le quattro pagine della forma di stampa. La prima prova di stampa è una prova che va a verificare la posizione delle pagine sul foglio. In sostanza si verifica che i margini siano quelli corretti, quelli determinati da chi ha deciso il disegno della pagina e che la sequenza delle pagine sia quella corretta. Può succedere che durante le prime prove si riscontri qualche errore, qualche refuso. Le prove servono appunto anche a riscontrare questo tipo di problematica. In questo caso bisogna riaprire la forma, spostare i caratteri e sostituire il refuso che va corretto. Un'altra verifica importante per la stampa in torchio è la verifica della quantità di pressione. Per fare questa prova si stampa una copia senza inchiostro, dalla quale potremo vedere quanto il carattere imprime quel foglio, la superficie. La correzione della pressione avviene con il taccheggio, ossia incollando dei sottili foglietti di carta che aumentano la pressione in un punto specifico. Siamo pronti per la stampa e a questo punto si procede con la tiratura dell'edizione. La carta per le edizioni è una carta speciale. Io per i miei libri prediligo carte a mano, carte in cotone, con tutti e quattro i lati, i bordi intonsi, carte molto morbide che inumidisco prima della stampa per migliorare la capacità di prendere la stampa, di ricevere l'inchiostro. Thank you.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.